It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Whether you're getting ready for a reunion or taking control of your health, it seems everyone has a reason for being on a diet. From no carb to low carb, many magazines feature the latest diet trends, and you can't escape the ads for commercial weight loss chains. The diet industry is a $60 billion business in the United States. That's $60 billion. Here to talk to us about the business of diets is our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's nice to be here, Paul.
Let's do an overview of the dieting market.
Okay, great. Well, a lot of our research comes from Market Data Enterprises, which is a leading independent research publisher, which just released its biennial 400-page study, which is called the U.S. Weight Loss and Diet Control Market. So it's a huge analysis of the market, and we have all the links on your website so people can go there and check it out. But at any one time, America has an estimated 108 million people who are on a diet. That is a huge number. Think about that.
108
million people who are on a diet.
Who are really on a diet or just saying they're on a diet?
Well, 108 million people who are on a diet. 82% of those are trying to lose weight by themselves, so they're on their own diet versus on a plan or a program or one of those other options. And dieters usually make 4 to 5 attempts per year to diet. So that tells you a little bit about dieting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the total U.S. Weight loss market actually grew in 2012. Revenues were closer to $61.6 billion, which is a huge number, and they're forecasted to go up about 3% in 2013. And 85% of customers consuming weight loss products and services are surprisingly women.
Not, and you're saying that sarcastically.
I'm just stating a fact, Paul.
I understand there are a lot of different segments in the dieting industry. Let's talk about those.
Okay, great. And I didn't really realize this, and as we went through our research, I was really impressed that there are so many. So first of all, there's the do-it-yourself dieters. So these are people who are using free diet plans, or using websites, over-the-counter diet pills, meal replacements, diet books that you can buy online, in libraries you can get them out. These are self-directed programs. And it's now, this type of diet is at an all-time high, about 82% in 2012. Historically, since 1989, only about 70% of dieters have used a self-directed plan. But with the recession and everything coming along, people have tried to cut back on what they're spending. So that's why they're going to sort of these self-directed diets. The next type of diet is a commercial weight loss chain. So these are large chains, which are like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig. So those are ones that you enroll in, you pay a fee, you attend meetings and classes. There's another interesting one called multi-level marketing, which I hadn't really realized. This is a non-traditional method of selling hundreds of thousands of products through independent contractors. One of the companies that works this way is Herbalife, which is now the number two weight loss company in the United States. They posted a $529 million revenue in 2012. So these are people that sell this product independently. There are prescription diet drugs, but right now there's no big blockbusters. So if you're in the business of creating drugs, and we have a large life sciences industry here in Pittsburgh, I think there's a big hole in the market there. We have meal replacements. So those are things like that come to your door. They're private labeled, and you can actually get those. And then diet websites. Online dieting is growing 8% a year, and most sites, they're not really profitable, so they've gone to free models and they put ads up. Weight Watchers does have 1.7 million paid subscribers with revenues of $500 million. So you can see that these numbers are big numbers, and there's lots of different facets of the diet industry.
What's the situation with surgery and weight loss?
Yeah, and this is really interesting. The number of bariatric surgeries, and bariatric surgeries covers a number of different types of surgeries within bariatric surgery. So we won't go into all the different types, but basically there were about 135,000 in 2008, according to government healthcare agency data. But since then, insurers have gotten tougher on coverage, and the number has fallen about 15%. And the average cost for this surgery is anywhere from $11,000 to $30,000. And basically what it does is it reduces the size of the stomach. And the what you need to have in terms of to go through a bariatric surgery is to be 80 to 100 pounds overweight, a body mass index of greater than 40. Typically, people are really between the ages of 14 and 75, and we're seeing that number, the younger number, the lower number, which is really interesting and needs some attention. And that's a lot of what Michelle Obama does, which is childhood obesity. And this is actually Childhood Obesity Month, September. So, and you have to have realistic expectations and the ability to understand the procedure and really a commitment to a post-surgery diet and vitamins and exercise. So this is not something to really take lightly. It's very involved. It's pretty serious. So
we're talking with our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Is there a big market? You mentioned earlier diet food home delivery.
Right.
Is there
right.
a big market for
there,
that?
There really is. This is an $800 million market. Nutrisystem has captured about half the sales. They send food to your home. Again, that number's gone down a little bit in the sense of people doing self-dieting, but that's a big number. The food comes to you. It's pre-made, pre-measured, and you take it as part of your plan.
And that seems to really appeal to men. In fact, we see those ads are the ones that run a lot on ESPN. Yeah. Don't ask me how I know
okay,
that.
Okay, I don't know how you know that, but that's good, right? And I think because it's packaged and it's easy, and so that's attractive.
So what is the future outlook for the diet industry?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, they're saying that growth is really flat over the next couple of years, but we'll slowly find increases up to 2016. I think part of that is just the effects of the recession and that there wasn't as much money around and people were eating foods which were cheaper but not necessarily better for you. And diet companies really are going to have to find untapped niches. So things like different marketing, looking at different ways to market to people who haven't traditionally been marketed to before, the diabetic market, the elderly market, childhood obesity, the male market. Those are all markets that are potentially have a lot of ability to get into and to really start to get more customers.
And finally, let's talk about fitness as it relates to dieting.
Well, this, I think, is really critical. So 1 hour is the amount of time spent on daily exercise by people who lost and kept off at least 30 pounds of excess weight for 5 years. There's a really strong correlation between exercise and permanent weight loss. So I think as we're thinking about fitness, as you know, Paul, from the numbers, 3,500 calories equals 1 pound. So you have to burn 3,500 calories more than you take in to lose a pound. So if you cut 500 calories from your diet every day, you'd lose a pound a week. And that's hard to cut that many calories.
I was going to say, so if you're doing the stair climber and it shows you, hey, you just burned 300 calories, that's nothing.
Well, no. But, I mean, every bit helps because if you're burning calories and you're cutting back what you're eating, and that's really the key to this is that you're doing both at the same time, it gives your weight loss an edge. And exercise can help burn off calories. And people who lose weight and keep it off really over long term have regular physical exercise. And so more and more of the studies are showing that that is the way to go. It helps maintain a healthy body. It prevents heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and some types of cancer. The World Health Organization recommends that exercise by adults 150 minutes a week of moderate to vigorous physical activity. So I think we have to get on our treadmills right now.
Well, and you would think that if exercise goes hand in hand with this, then the workout centers and fitness centers would be enjoying a boost to their business as well.
Absolutely. And also exercise equipment. I mean, there's and people can do exercise at home. So I think that's really important as well. And I think it's also our society has become more sedentary. So we have to really work to put exercise in our daily routine and our daily lives. And that is a conscious decision that we have to make. But I think in making it is much healthier for everybody involved.
In the minute or so that we have left, when it comes to children and obesity, you mentioned First Lady Michelle Obama really focusing on that. Is there an industry there that is looking at that to ways to help children?
Well, a lot of this has to do with the food industry has over the years had so much attractive food that really makes it hard for adults to try to say no. And so I think that they're looking at the foods that are in school lunches and cafeterias, looking at soda and looking at the size of drinks, looking at the education programs. All those things are really critical. And it also is important that it starts at home. I mean, you have to set examples for your children. So a small dessert is great, but, you know, five different desserts is not great. And doing family exercise together can really be fun.
Rebecca Harris on the business of diets. She's our business contributor and director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, as always, a pleasure having you on Essential Pittsburgh.
Nice to be here, Paul.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. And we welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR news station.